Gather your Bibles, I invite you to turn to the third chapter of the book of James. James chapter 3. One of the things I struggle with is what to preach, what subject to preach at any given time. And I've never known how to do that other than to simply pray to the Lord. And try to follow his leadership. I had numerous subjects bouncing around in my mind last night and thought about this chapter and said, Lord, if it's thy will, let that be the first thing that's on my mind when I get up. And as I awoke even before I was ready to get up, and then when I did get up, this was still on my mind. So I hope and trust it to the Lord. I tried to preach on this subject with another congregation a few months ago, and I hope and trust it's of the Lord. So please continue to pray. He says, my brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. That word master means a teacher of the things of God. It refers to ministers. It refers to elders. And he said, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. He goes on to say, for in many things we offend all. And if any man offend not in word, the same as a perfect man and able to bridle the whole body. James chapter 3 is going to get into the subject of the tongue. And in our old fleshly nature, we have great trouble with the tongue. In Romans chapter 3, the Apostle Paul is describing man in the natural state, a man that has not been born again by the Holy Spirit of God. And he says this in Romans chapter 3 and verse 10. He says, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Now he gets to the problems of the mouth and of the tongue. Said, whose mouth is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they abuse deceit. The poison of asp snakes is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. He gives some vivid descriptions of the mouth and of the tongue. He started out, their throat is an open sepulcher, meaning like an open grave. With their tongues, they abuse deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Now, we've been blessed to be born again. If you're a lover of the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, we have the sweet assurance that we are blessed to be children of God, and the Lord has put his spirit within us, and what a blessing that is. But we still got the old Adam nature, which means we still have these problems with the tongue that we have to battle with. In Romans chapter 7, the Apostle Paul would say, the things I want to do, those are not the things I find myself doing, but the things I don't want to do, those are the things I find myself doing. He said, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. So we still, even as born again children of God, battle with the tongue. He starts this off saying, be not many masters. That may be a shocking statement. Be not many ministers. Be not many elders. Be not many teachers of the things of God. Why would he say that? A minister, by the very nature of what God has called us to do, we have to use our mouth a lot. Not only in the pulpit, but in personal conversations. And if you were to get sure evidence that Mark Quarles is a sinner, and it sure wouldn't take you long to get evidence, I guarantee you the first evidence you would have against me is something I said that I shouldn't have said. The tongue can be difficult to control. There's another reason that I believe he says, be not many masters. If you look in Acts chapter 20, we'll see where the Apostle Paul is bidding farewell to the Ephesian elders. And in Acts chapter 20, we'll begin in verse 28. He tells these Ephesian elders, take heed, therefore, unto yourselves. That word heed is kind of a caution line. Take heed unto yourself. He's telling these ministers, he's going to get to them watching the flock, caring for the flock, but at first he tells them, take heed unto yourself. Watch yourself and watch what you do. A minister that doesn't do the right things can lead the flock in many wrong paths and in many wrong ways. And he says, take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. This scripture teaches that the elders are the overseers of the church. They are spiritual leaders in the church. And the Lord Jesus would say, to whom much is given, much is required. With a lot of responsibility, with a lot of authority, comes a lot of responsibility. And that's a scary place. I remember when I first got married and then when I had children, I felt the responsibility that God views me as the head of my household. And God holds me responsible for what happens in my home. And that's a little bit of a scary responsibility. And elders have a little bit of a scary responsibility that God has made us leaders, spiritual leaders of the flock. You want to do everything you can as a minister of the gospel to lead the sheep in the right way. And to always be following in the footsteps of the great shepherd, the Lord Jesus, and never leave the sheep in a dangerous place. He said, over whom the Holy Ghost had made you overseer. Now, I was called as pastor of Providence Church. And there's a sense in which the church calls someone to be pastor. But the church did not call me to be a minister of the gospel. That call came from the Lord. Men don't call men to preach. God calls men to preach. Churches call men to be their pastor. But it's the Holy Ghost that has made the elders overseers. He said to feed the church of God, which he had purchased with his own blood. You see, the precious sheep of which you all are, and I trust I am, you're not my sheep. You're the Lord's sheep. And ministers need to be very careful how they treat the sheep of God. I remember when I was a little boy, we had horses, and sometimes we would take care of our neighbor's horses when they were out of town. And I remember Mama and Daddy would be very careful when we were going to take care of somebody else's horses to only feed them the exact food that the owners of the horse told us to feed them, because we realized that's not our horse. Somebody else's horse, and we need to treat them exactly like their owner has said, and we need to feed them with those things. The Lord has blessed the gospel ministry to give out food to the sheep, but the food doesn't come from the man. The food comes from the Lord. I liken it to when the Lord Jesus Christ fed the 5,000 men, not counting women and children, and with 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. Where did the miracle come from that fed all that multitude? It didn't come from the apostles. It didn't come from the disciples. It came from the Lord, but the Lord blessed the disciples to hand it out. And so he blesses the gospel ministry to give the food to the sheep, but we're only allowed to give the food that the Lord has given to us. And I better get the food from God's word, because the sheep are his. And I better not try to feed them with something else. Since which he had purchased with his own blood. He reminds us how much he loves his sheep. He loved them so much that he purchased us with his own blood. Jesus would say, greater love had no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. So you see the awesome responsibility of the gospel ministry. He goes on to say, for I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. He said there's enemies of the flock. And there's those that would lead the flock astray. And God has called his gospel ministers as overseers of the flock. To help lead the flock in a godly way, in the Lord's way. In Hebrews chapter 13, we see another verse related to this. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17. He says, obey them that have the rule over you. That word, rule over you, that phrase, that Greek word, literally means to lead. It means to command. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account. Now, he's telling those that he's writing the book of Hebrews to, as the gospel ministry is leading them in the way of the Lord and in the truth of the Lord, to submit to that truth and to obey. He said, as they that watch for your souls, as they that must give account. Now, ultimately, who does the gospel minister give account to? To the Lord himself. And again, that's an awesome responsibility, not to be taken lightly. That they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. So we see him saying, be not many masters. He's saying it's a tremendous responsibility, and to whom much is given, much is required. And I would to God that he would lead his gospel ministers in the right way and strengthen the gospel ministers to do the right things as the Lord is blessing. So I think the reason he says, be not many masters, is partly because of the tremendous responsibility that the Lord has put upon the gospel ministry, to whom much is given, much is required. And also because of the fact that we have to use our mouths so much, and it's so easy for us to sin with our mouths or to say the wrong things. The more you speak, the more likely it is that we will say the wrong things. Now, let's keep reading, and I'll make some more points, because the Lord does not put a stoplight on all of our words. He puts a caution light on our words. There's a time for us to speak. The Lord has told us to stand for the truth. He's told us as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're to be the pillar and ground of the truth. We're to follow in the footsteps of the Lord Jesus, who Jesus told Pilate, when Pilate asked him, are you a king? And Pilate said, thou sayest that I'm a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I might bear witness, speak as a witness to the truth. And everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. So there's a time to speak, and there's a time to be silent. And we have to have the wisdom, especially the gospel ministry, but us all have to have the wisdom to know the difference. When do we speak? And when do we be silent? You may say, Brother Mark, I don't know that I've got as much wisdom as I need. I don't think any of us feel like we've got as much wisdom as we need. And James would also write, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing waver. For he that wavers is like a wave thrown about with the wind and tossed. Let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. So the Lord's told us where to go to for wisdom. And he said, if you ask me for it, I will give it to you. And I think that's a prayer we all should pray every single day. Lord, please give us wisdom. Lord, please help us to know the right things to do. Now, if we ever think we're going in the right path, but it contradicts God's word, then it's not the Lord telling us to do that. It's somebody else. But if the Lord is leading us in a way that's consistent with his word, he has told us if we need wisdom, ask him for it, and he will grant it. He goes on in James chapter 3 and verse 3. He's just said, if any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, meaning a complete man and one that's able to bridle the whole body. He said, behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths and that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. He makes a powerful point there. We have all, I'm sure, seen the bridles on horses. And if you control the horse's mouth, you control the horse. And he's saying, if you can control your mouth, you can control your whole body. You know, so many problems in life can happen when we don't control our mouth. I'll never forget hearing a talk from an FBI agent that had secretly been locked up with Saddam Hussein, and he developed a relationship with him. Saddam Hussein invaded Kuwait, and it was widely believed that he was invading Kuwait for their oil. And that's what I think most of the world thought. Well, come to find out, and this was kind of after the fact and after the liberation of Kuwait, that it really didn't have anything to do with oil. But it had to do with some disparaging statements that the king of Kuwait had made against Iranian women. It was over words that a country was invaded. How many wars have been started over words? How many disruptions in a home, in a workplace, in a schoolhouse have been caused over words? How many times have murders and one taking the life of another started with words? And he said, if you can control the horse's mouth, you can control the horse. I know that I have to have the Lord's help to control my mouth. And I think we all do. And we should ask for the Lord's help. Lord, please help me. He said, behold also the ships, which though they be so great, so large, so massive, and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so, the tongue is a little member, but boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. He uses the analogy of a little old bitty rudder on a big old ship, but that little bitty rudder turns the whole big ship. And sometimes our tongues can control and turn our whole body. So he puts a caution light on what we say with our tongue. He said the tongue's a little member. It's bigger than our pinky toe, but it's not a big member in our body. But it controls a lot of things, and the tongue can boast great things. Some of the pride of man and some of the vanity of man comes out in the tongue. He said the tongue boasted great things. Said the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. You know, I'm reminded of some of the wildfires that have started out west in California and the western states where it gets so dry. And a fire can start out extremely small, but all of a sudden it's taken many, 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 many acres. And sometimes great parts of land are destroyed. It can get away from you quick. And this tongue can get away from us quick, especially when we're angry. It can start running, and it's hard to get the stop switch to work sometimes. It says, for every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Now, some of the things he's describing, what can fire do to you? Burn you, hurt you. An excruciating pain is to be burned. He talks about animals that... every kind of beast and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Poison hurts. You know, there's that old saying that says, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words shall never hurt me. And that's a cute little saying, but it just ain't so, because words can hurt. Words can burn. Words can have poison. And we should be careful with our words. He said, therewith bless we God. Now that's a good thing to do with our mouth. And the reason I say we don't need to put a stoplight in front of our mouth is there's a lot of good things we can do with our mouth. We've been doing a lot of them this morning. As we lifted up our voices in praise and adoration to a holy God in song, we have been doing something extremely good with our voice. That's praising the Lord, giving honor to his name. And that's a wonderful thing to do with our voice. And the prayers, the prayer that Brother Ruffin prayed, words of adoration and praise and request unto our Lord, that's a good thing for us to do with our mouth. So there's a lot of good things. Therewith bless we God. But he said, even the Father. But he said, with that same mouth that blessed God on Sunday, there curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. And out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth the fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? You know, if we go to a spring and it has sweet water, we don't expect it to turn bad all of a sudden. But sometimes sweet things have come out of my mouth, and sometimes very bitter things have come out of my mouth. Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Who is a wise man and a dude with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation, a good manner of life, works with meekness and wisdom. I'm going to go to a couple of verses that show some of the difficulties of the tongue, but then I want to move on to some of the blessings, great blessings of the tongue. Psalm 64, verses 3 and 4. Psalm 64, and this is talking about the tongue of the wicked. We'll actually begin in verse 1 for a little bit of context. This is a psalm of David. It says, "Hear my voice, O Lord, in my prayer. Preserve my life from the fear of the enemy. Hide me from the secret counsel of the wicked, for the insurrection of the workers of iniquity." So we know he's talking about the wicked here. He's talking about those who have not been blessed to be born again by the Holy Spirit of God. It said, "Who wet their tongue like a sword, bend their bows to shoot their arrows, even bitter words, that they may shoot in secret at the perfect. Suddenly they do shoot at him and fear not." He's using the analogy of military weapons in the day. And he's showing the weaponry that words can be. And he's talking about the wicked, speaking of those that are trying to do what the Lord would have them do. And I'll tell you, as we live in this old world, we can expect some criticism from the wicked of this world as we seek to follow the Lord. And their weaponry can be vicious, and their weaponry can be like swords, and they can be like arrows that are shooting at us. In Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 16, the Lord will say these things that the Lord hate, six things that the Lord hate, yea, seven are abomination to him. And the second in the list is a lying tongue. He constantly affirms in his word that we're to be people of truth and people that tell the truth and people that convey the truth. Let's go to Ecclesiastes chapter 10. And then I'm going to shift gears, the Lord being our helper, to some of the blessings of the tongue. Ecclesiastes chapter 10. And verse 12. Says the words of a wise man's mouth are gracious. Now that's good. The words of a wise man's mouth are gracious. You know what was said of the Lord Jesus? Gracious words come out of his lips. So we are blessed to have words of grace and love and comfort. We are blessed to be following in the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. It says, but the lips of a fool will swallow up himself. And that's almost a humorous image in my mind, because it says the lips of the fool will literally swallow up himself. I almost picture the bottom lip of somebody coming up all over their head and swallowing them up. And he said that's what the lips of a fool do, that speak hurtful things and things contrary to the word of God. Now let's go to Psalms chapter 71. And look at some of the blessings. Again, there's a time to speak and there's a time to be silent. And we pray the Lord will show us the difference. And that's why I say the Lord has not put a stoplight on our mouth, but he's just put a caution light on our mouth that we may think before we speak. When I come up to an intersection, I see an orange light blinking. It's telling me I need to think before I go through this intersection. And I need to be looking both ways to see what's coming. And as I begin to speak, I need to think. Sometimes I've been guilty. My mouth engages before my brain does. and I'm not really thinking about what I need to say and the way I need to say it. So Psalms chapter 71 and verse 15 says, well, let's start in verse 14. But I will hope continually and will yet praise thee more and more. A wonderful thing for us to do with our mouth is and hoping in the Lord and yet praising him more and more as we worship him on Sunday, but also as we speak to others throughout the week to give praise and glory to God. I was checking out at the Ford place, and me and the lady there, she was delightful, and we started quoting scriptures back to one another. She was obviously a lover of the Lord Jesus, and she was very delightful, and we had a good, sweet, spiritual conversation right there. And she was very kind in her giving praise unto the Lord. She actually made a statement that kind of surprised me. She said, you know, we need to be obedient to the Lord. He said, us being obedient, our works aren't going to get us to heaven, but it sure does help us on this side of heaven. And I was like, amen, it does. You're absolutely right. But she was giving praise unto the Lord, and it made my whole day better. I will hope continually. I'll yet praise thee more and more, and my mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day. I know not the numbers there. You see, our fleshly nature likes for the attention to be on us. But I'll tell you what a blessing it is when we speak words. It's not all about us, but it's about him. It's about his righteousness and his glory and the salvation that he's blessed us with that's so great. It's, he said, I can't know the numbers of it. The Lord's righteousness and the Lord's salvation is so tremendous and so wonderful. He saved us for heaven, and we can't know the numbers and the glory of all that in perfection. But he also saves us here with timely deliverances. How many times has the Lord protected us from harm? He said, I know not the numbers thereof. He said, I'll go in the strength of the Lord God. I'll make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine own. You see where the focus of the good mouth is on the Lord and his goodness and his grace and his mercy and the way he blesses us every single day. Oh God, thou hast taught me from my youth. And hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. The wondrous works of God. He said, now also, when I'm old. He just talked about when he was young. You know, we have different seasons of life. You know, not too long ago, Elder David Crawford preached a wonderful message on seasons of life. And we have different seasons of life. And with those different seasons of life, we have different issues. I am so incredibly thankful for some of our young families that are faithful in coming to the house of God. I know it's difficult when children are young and the distractions can be a lot on a young mama and daddy. But what an example it sets to be in the house of God. And our children, even at a young age, pick up on so much more than we may ever know. And I'm so thankful for that example of the young and the middle-aged and the old. We were blessed to be at Shawali Church up in Potts Camp Friday night and Saturday morning at both of those services. There's a old brother named Brother Fred. And he comes in on a walker, and it takes him a long time for the brethren to help him get up the steps. And he has great difficulty. He's got every reason in the world justified to not be in the house of God. But he's there. And his mouth is always praising the Lord. And at every season of life, we have the sweet opportunity, whether we're the youngest here today or whether we're the oldest, to praise the Lord with our lips. He said, now also, when I'm old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that's coming. What's the psalmist saying? Really, what I want to do is for everybody I'm around to know how great God is, how wondrous He's been. As the youth that said he showed forth his wondrous works of the Lord. Then as an old man, he said, when I'm gray-headed, don't let me pass from this life till I've told this generation how good God is. We see a sweet principle in this. That if we're busy talking about the things we should talk about, it may help Mark Quarles not talk as much about the things that I don't need to talk about. There's so many more verses on the tongue that could be mentioned. But we have such a sweet opportunity to exhort one another and encourage one another with our tongues and talk about the greatness of God. In my communications here with you, the flock, I hear so many times, I don't know that I can make it without coming to church on Sunday morning. When I come to the house of God, I feel so encouraged and I feel so strengthened and I feel like I can make it through another week. This old world is like the wicked shooting arrows at us and shooting swords at us that was described. But when we come to the house of God and we get the comforting words of our Lord, Isaiah 40 says, comfort ye, comfort ye. My people, saith your God, speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. We hear of the great, wonderful work that the Lord Jesus did for us on the cross of Calvary. And we hear the great good news that one sweet day, heaven and a mode of glory will be our home. And sin will be gone. And disease and sickness and sorrow will be gone. And all will be joy and peace and love. And we hear the encouraging words from our Lord to keep on keeping on. And we see the encouraging words of our brethren and sisters lifted up in the faith, exhorting one another. And so much as we see the day approaching, the day that we meet to worship together, and we come out revived and renewed. See, words can be healing instead of hurtful. How many times has the words from my brethren and sisters been a healing balm unto me? How many times has the word of this Holy Scripture been a healing balm unto me? May God bless me to speak the words like we just read. Psalm 71. What a blessing it is. And I thank God for the words that the Lord's given us. He's given us the good news. He could have saved us for heaven and never told us about it. But as cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. And the Lord has blessed us with His words to reveal the sweet blessings and deliverances and salvation that He has given unto us. God bless you, is my prayer.